Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where AI related to Amazon FBA private label and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy, and today we bring another special guest. His name is Lirian, founder and CEO of Incremental Digital, which I will say is one of the top agencies out there when it comes to advertising on Amazon. This guy has been in the space for many years. I actually remember, consume a lot of his content, so I have a lot of respect for him. And that's why I wanted to bring Lirian today to the episode, because there is a lot of things happening in the Amazon space, specifically things that have to do, for example, in the retargeting side of things, creating audiences, really understanding the journey for consumer from top to bottom. And that's where Amazon Marketing Cloud is really making a lot of noise. And everything that has to do with, Lirian is an expert, so I'm sure he's going to drop some insights that you guys can leverage. So, Lirian, pleasure to have you on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing great. Thank you so much. I think, I'm not sure when was the last time I saw you in person.
I think it was in Seattle. Seattle, we're having, Accelerate. Yeah.
Accelerate. Mm-hmm. And maybe before that, I wonder if it was in Israel. We were both there for...
Israel as well. I think you also... And I think before that, if I'm not mistaken, you came once to Seller Sessions in the UK.
Right? Seller Sessions in the UK, yes. 2019, I believe that was.
Yeah, long time ago.
That was like a lifetime ago, pre-pandemic.
Yeah, no, it's funny now. Every single time we think about like timelines, it's COVID is like a before and after. You know,
crazy. Good. I can't believe it's been 5 years. So
yeah, I know. Cool. So let's start with a brief intro by yourself. You know, for those that might live under a rock and don't know you, so tell us who is Lirian and what you do.
Yeah. Sure. Well, thanks for having me on, Lirian Hirschkorn. I've been in the Amazon space now. Kind of crazy to think about going into my 11th year. I was just showing you, before I got on here, I just got this package of treasures that I bought like wholesale and resold. I think I sold that in 2017 or something. It was like a deal.
Yeah.
A lot of us went in on a group and, I sold that brand and the account with that brand and the account, but I just got like 50 of them back from Amazon.
Kind of crazy. Somehow they still have your address.
They still have my address. But I've been in the Amazon space since 2014. Before that, I had an online insurance agency. So, internet marketing was kind of, I would say an online marketing was something I've been learning for the last 20 plus years. And got into selling on Amazon, took a course I saw an ad for, started selling retail arbitrage, then got into wholesale, then got into private label, ended up selling a brand. And along the way, Andy Slammons, who is, I would say, really a guru, not a fake guru. He has his own 8-figure brand today. And I was in his course early on. And at one point, he asked me to join him in teaching the course. And that's how I got to be in front of sellers and speaking. And then in about 2017, 2018, I saw Amazon advertising get complex and also get more necessary. When I launched private label originally, ads were not required in order to sell, but that was changing. Amazon was starting to prioritize ads. I started learning it and then helping sellers with it. Eventually sold the brand and started Incremental Digital as an agency to help brands. And today I'm sort of involved in like a variety of things in e-commerce, advised 8Fig, which does, helps with the growth capital. I'm an investor in a brand called Barrier, which is a pretty cool brand that does vitamin patches. We're actually suspended on Amazon at the moment.
Oh my God. There you go.
We should be back up Amazon told me I have to be down for at least 6 months before they will let the brand back up and whatever. It's kind of crazy. But a successful brand that's about to go into Walmart, and that's in Walgreens, and I'm an investor advisor with them. Looking to launch another brand this year as well. But my main focus, is on Incrementum, digital. I love the e-commerce space. And just like I've met so many great people, along the way. And it's great community, this Amazon seller yes. world.
Yes, I know. It's funny because at the same time, you've been so long in the space now that I'm sure when you start comparing the complexity of ads now with 2014, oh, yeah. it's like, so it's black and white, and I resemble with you. Like back then, you could only have a few exact match campaign or even automatic campaign. You have right. an ACOS of 5%.
Yeah, and you could do like auto and broad, and that was it. And it's kind of like when yeah. I see sometimes people ask us to manage other platforms. Like we managed some campaigns on Ulta. And like, yeah. even though we didn't have experience with Ulta, we went there and it's like, there's nothing.
It's intuition.
Auto, some keywords, like they're not that much bells and whistles you could do with it. It's just not complex. And that's how Amazon was. But, Amazon made a very, very, very smart move. They really, prioritized advertising. I don't think, even though some people say it's not as good for the platform, to have not as many organic results on top, I think because of relevancy, et cetera, I don't think it's hurt the platform. I think it's hurt sellers, but I don't think it's hurt the platform. Yeah. And, now they have a 40 billion plus revenue business. And they just announced at CES recently that they are now sort of willing to license out their advertising technology to other retailers, which we already mm-hmm. see on Amazon, some retailers that have taken advantage of it, iHerb and some others where yeah. we can actually launch ad campaigns for those sites where our customers are selling elsewhere. I don't think it's going to be crazy big. I don't think the big platforms, Walmart, Target, et cetera, are going to license Amazon's tech, but, smaller retailers like iHerb and, niche yeah. retailers, I think will. And it's just, really interesting how Amazon has taken over the last few years, everything they do and are essentially licensing it out, right? Some context. AWS was something, Amazon did, and then they launched it where everybody could use their cloud platform. Then they took things like fulfillment and offered multi-channel fulfillment so you can fulfill from, if you don't sell on Amazon, Shopify. Then they added Buy with Prime so that you can, add a Prime button to your website and people can get Prime even not shopping on Amazon.
Omnichannel when it comes to offering services.
Yeah, yeah 3PL, they want to do everything and they want to take a cut of everything. And they realize not everyone's going to shop on Amazon. And I think this was like a change in philosophy between, I think, Bezos and Andy Jassy, who ran mm-hmm. AWS. And so it's kind of interesting, where things are going and what Amazon is doing today. And, just today, Amazon announced they're closing a bunch of their like Amazon Go stores. But what they really want to do is license that technology to a lot of other supermarkets. And it's the same thing they announced with Transparency when they launched it, that they want to
license
sell this system to Target yeah. to all retailers so that they can have, sort of yeah. counterfeit protection. So yeah, pretty interesting where Amazon was and where they've gone. And yeah. I hope if you've been around a while involved in the Amazon space, you've also bought some stock.
I did. So definitely taking yeah. advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, Amazon is definitely going that direction. They have realized that they'd rather be the middleman, that the one that has to take all the weight in their shoulders when it comes to, in this case, only relying on their marketplace. So it's definitely a smart move, which it brings me to my next thing. With Amazon Marketing Cloud, which is what I briefly said we're going to be discussing today, I feel it's a little bit that initial seed they're putting out there to then becoming as you mentioned, an advertiser that then they can license to other people. Because with Amazon Marketing Cloud, now you're able to grab so much information out of a consumer that the amount of data, from the moment the customer essentially interacts with your brand all the way to making a purchase, these insights that you can cleverly, use to make strategies within Amazon, outside of Amazon. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, how you see Amazon Marketing Cloud being adapted, if you feel that it's still very early for a lot of brands, or you see a lot of brands, and where do you feel it's going?
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, you've probably, you know, if you've been listening to podcasts and like are in the space, you've probably heard a lot about, you know, AMC, 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 AMC. Mm-hmm. It's possible that unless you're really doing DSP, and even with DSP, unless you were doing, you know, middle to upper funnel, okay, it may not have been as relevant to you, but that is completely changing. So let me break down what AMC is and mm-hmm. how it's completely changing, where it's really going to be applicable to, I would say, everyone, or at least if you have more established sales, it will be applicable to you. So AMC does a couple of things. What it is, it's called the Amazon Marketing Cloud, and essentially it's all your customer data. And all that data is sitting in an AWS, what's called an AWS bucket. It's stored in this data room. And it's great because all the data is anonymized, so there's no privacy issues, and it sort of bypasses issues like people have with cookies today and things like that. And so, for example, it has all your data. So what can you do with it? You can first, one thing is creating audiences, and another thing is understanding the customer journey. So let's talk about the customer journey first. Understanding the customer journey, what does that mean? And you see now, actually, Amazon is starting to offer this in the ad console as well, is the path to conversion. So for example, Amazon advertising and most advertising platforms work on a last click attribution, or last view if it's an ad that you're paying per impression attribution. That means if today somebody searches your product, clicks on sponsored product, they don't buy. Tomorrow they come back, they search a keyword or your brand name, they click on a sponsored brand ad, and they buy. The attribution of that sale now goes to sponsored brand. Well, what about that click that happened in sponsored product? Well, that looks like wasted spend in your reporting because the attribution went to sponsored brand. And up until now, you didn't really see that. First, you saw the click, but you didn't see that that click was associated with a journey that's in the sale. So the Amazon Marketing Cloud, because it has all your client data, will show you that you had X number of customers this month that did step one SP, step two SB sale, or step one DSP, step two SDAD sale, or whatever the journey was. So you can see how different ad types work together. What we typically see is that the more ad types, you know, up to like four ad types somebody interacts with, three or four ad types, the purchase rate is going to be higher. So multiple customers interacting with multiple ad types does result in a higher percentage of those customers purchasing. So that's one thing, one piece of data that you can see how your different ad types are working together. The other thing you could do is, again, this has been up until now, you've been able to create audiences for targeting with DSP, with display ads on and off Amazon. And so what kind of audiences you could create? One, you can take your existing base of customers and say, show me how many of these people added this particular ACE into cart but have not purchased. So abandoned cart. As long as you have enough of an audience, if you had 50 people, can create an audience.
Which is why DSP usually requires such a bigger spend, because I always explain that if you don't have enough data, you can really make sense of, you know, a consistency.
Yes. And if you don't have enough traffic to a listing, you don't have enough of an audience to create. You usually need a couple thousand sessions on a listing a month in order to create an audience. So you probably need a couple thousand abandoned carts to be able to create that audience. If you have that, then you could take and you can target just those people with an ad. And what's the cool thing you could do is now you can customize your creative to that ad with something called paid insights. You can understand when somebody typically, because paid insights, it's you pay for that. You don't get just the ad data, but you also get organic data in AMC. And with that, you can see when somebody typically becomes a subscribe and save customer. So if you understand that typically it takes two purchases before somebody can become a subscribe and save customers, you can say, create an audience of all the people who bought twice. And now I'm going to create an ad and it's going to say subscribe and save and only show it to those people who already know the brand. And I can do a different, you know, creative or whatever for people who know the brand and focus on subscribe and save with that audience. What else can you do? You can create lookalike audiences. So you've heard the term lookalike audiences because you've seen Facebook offer this for many, many years. You upload a list of your emails, and you can target that email list. You can also target lookalike audiences. Well, Amazon now allows me to put in, I can say, show me all people who have purchased from me in the last year and create a lookalike. Or let's say I have a supplement brand and I have a $30 product and I have multiple products. And I say, I want my best customers. Show me people who've purchased at least X times, or show me people who spent at least $100 with the brand in the last year. Amazon recently announced at CES that now you can go back 5 years on audience. So you can create this audience and then say to Amazon, show me lookalike, show me people who are very similar to this, who are likely to buy my brand and spend X amount per year. Now, up until now, the only thing you could do with that is display ads. That's all changing. Now, if you notice, if you have AMC activated, you should be able to see a tab in your advertising console that says audiences, where you can add audiences to sponsored product, sponsored brand, and sponsored display. The trick is, though, you need access to AMC. The way to get access to AMC activated is either through a software tool or an agency. Generally, you're not going to get like direct access to it. But it's worthwhile getting that, because especially, again, if you have meaningful sales and you have an opportunity, what Amazon allows you to do now is say, okay, you want to target this lookalike audience. Well, how are you going to do that? It's typically on display ads. Yep. Well, you can target this lookalike audiences. I sell a vitamin C serum. I'm going to target the keyword vitamin C serum. And for this audience, I'm telling Amazon, increase the bid by 10% or increase the bid by 100%. And now I'm going to be able to, I'm willing to pay more, but I think I have a better customer, a better chance for conversion, somebody who's going to buy multiple times. Or again, maybe it's my abandoned cart audience, or whatever your imagination can think of in terms of audience, you can query and get that audience and create that audience and target that. And now you could do it with sponsored brand, sponsored product, sponsored display. So where before, you know, you might say, you know, it's not really worth doing DSP on a product unless I can spend at least $5,000 a month on it, or $10,000. And, you know, if you're not spending, you know, $10,000 a month on Amazon ads, like probably, or $15,000, probably doesn't even make sense to think of DSP. If you're not, you know, if you're not doing at least a couple $1 million in business, like, it shouldn't be your main focus. But with sponsor side, you could do it. And especially if you have, you know, at least one good hero product, you're getting meaningful sales, you have enough data in AMC, and you can start to harness that data in order to have better targeting. You know, you can really reach better audiences. You can increase your conversion rate. You can show display ads to those audiences. You can do all those things without necessarily doing DSP. And we're still focusing on keywords. People like sponsored product and also sponsored brand, sponsored display a lot also, because with all those, including sponsored display, with sponsored display, you have an option of doing cost per click or cost per impression. Mm-hmm. I always recommend cost per click. With cost per impression, you can be cannibalizing your sales, meaning you were on a listing, you saw an ad for another product, you didn't click on it, you end up going to the other product and buying, and now that's going to get attributed to that ad if you're paying per view. And maybe that ad didn't influence you to buy. Maybe it did, but maybe it didn't. We don't. So with sponsored display, you could do cost per click. With DSP, you have to do cost per click. So now I think this really changes the game, where you will want to have access to AMC. We just started in the last week. We just activated last month. We've activated AMC across all our clients. We got that done. That didn't have it, that weren't doing DSP, you know, that those that had DSP already had it. And we also have a software tool called Data Owl that we created that shows you all your AMC data. And now we are starting to test. And what we started to do is just increase, for those audiences we want to test, increase the bid by 10%. So we're not going crazy. We're just testing the data. And, you know, maybe in the future we could talk, you know, on some results. Yeah. But I, you know, definitely think, like, we've seen good results with, especially like with, you know, Amazon launched the opportunity to increase bid on business customers, B2B customers. You could see the placement and the results. And often we see really good results on B2B. And now you can increase the bid for that. So where I think it's going is that the future of the Amazon search results are going to be way more customized than they are.
Based on behavior as well, which is where I feel the ads are going. I feel of with all this new technology Amazon's releasing, it seems like each time Amazon is showing us that the future is going to be all about understanding the behavior of the customer and essentially the interaction with the platform, right? And being based only on search, which is the traditional way of doing ads, right? So that's why I feel people have to embrace and understand it, because if you don't, and the competition is doing it, like, that's where you start losing market share, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, let's say, you know, because people search differently, you know, I have a neighbor I spoke to the other day, and they're talking about buying products on Amazon and like mm-hmm. I think like cheap toys, something like that for their kids or something. And they say, yeah, when I look for that, like party supplies or something, like when I look for that, I sort by lowest to highest. Like I never search on Amazon and filter by lowest to highest, but that's how they search. Well, if Amazon knows that they do that, like every time we're in a category, they might as well just show them the results like that. Right. And I think what's going to happen with the targeting you could do in ads to be, to increase bids to the target customer you want, and with Amazon making Rufus and AI better and perhaps more people using it over time, then ultimately end results are going to be, you know, more personalized, you know, for the customer, which I think can be good. But you're going to have to catch up with these strategies to learn how to be more targeted. Right now, the people that are implementing this increased bid for this target audience are at an advantage if their competition is not doing the same thing. So I think right now is like a window of time where you can have that advantage in terms of until everybody adopts it.
Early move advantage, which is why I feel DSP and AMC is becoming such a hot topic this year, because let's be honest, traditional ads in certain categories are getting very saturated. And sometimes, you know, the loophole some brands have figured out is transitioning some of that budget to DSP and AMC, because a lot of brands don't know how to do it. They don't have in-house capabilities, they don't have the budget, and you can find a cheaper way to attack the consumer.
And you know, in my opinion, you know, DSP is for sure not for everyone. There's low-hanging fruit on DSP. For example, if you're if you sell something that people buy on a regular basis, one great DSP option is targeting lapsed purchasers, people who have purchased in the past but have not repurchased in a certain amount of days, depending on when you think that should be based on your product. That's low-hanging fruit. We typically see a big row, you know, good ROAS there. Contextual targeting, which is targeting people that are shopping similar products in the category and showing them, or they're on a web page, they're reading an article about skiing, and your ad for ski gloves will show there. It's contextual to the ad, sort of middle funnel. Upper funnel awareness, that's more, I think, if you have really maxed out a lot of search, you're already showing at the top for a lot, you're not growing a lot anymore because of that, and you really want to drive demand as opposed to, you know,
target the current demand.
Not taking advantage of current demand. But at the same time, maybe for your brand, the right thing to do is go to TikTok and work with, you know, 500 influencers to get that awareness. Maybe that's better than running, you know, awareness ads, right? So I think there's sort of multiple ways you can drive that awareness, and it doesn't necessarily have to be through DSP. But now that the marketing cloud is available to you on the sponsored side, on the search side, and sponsor brand, sponsor display, I think that, you know, most, you know, if you're $1 million seller, plus, I mean, definitely you should be taking advantage of it and seeing how you can improve your advertising results by, you know, being more targeted, you know, to that audience. Again, you have to have data on a product in order to do that. So it has to have sales and et cetera. So if you're just launching a product, like, don't even worry about it. But if you have a product that's already generating good sales, then you have data, then you could take that lookalike audience, right? Then you could take that abandoned cart, then you can, you know, take retargeting people who came to a listing. You could take all these things, increase the bid, and get sales that you wouldn't have, along with all the other things you want to do on Amazon. Brand tailored promotions, I think, is a great way to give a coupon to your abandoned carts, right? And have other incentive to capture those sales back. Save first order coupon, like, right, take advantage of these things. Again, got to pay attention to your margins and what your goal is, growth or profit, etc. But there's lots of levers you have, and you know, this is a new one that I think is worth exploring
for sure. Now, to start concluding, how do you feel Rufus is going to fit into all of this? Because what I definitely think potentially could happen is that all these interactions also consumers are having with Rufus, this most likely is going to be a way for you to target your ads, because based on the type of questions, the engagement that they have with AI and all of that, most likely this is going to start reflecting also in Amazon Marketing Cloud. So have you seen anything already implying that that's going to be the case? Or what are some of your predictions when it comes to that?
I've read that like ads should be available in Rufus. I haven't seen any ads in Rufus.
Exactly. Yeah.
But for sure, ads are going to be in Rufus. I think that could end up being part of sponsored display reaching audiences, or maybe somebody who searched a keyword who got to a listing and is talking to Rufus. And you'll have ads there. What I'm seeing a lot with Rufus is that brands are not leveraging it, meaning, actually doing a webinar on this in a couple of weeks.
Information down in the description for you guys to find out. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm doing it together with Intellivy, who runs like Bolt, and we were looking at a listing yesterday, and it's for a dog treat, and the Rufus is prompting me with some questions like, is this good for my dog's breath or something, right? And so I went to one listing and saw that question on a product with a lot of reviews, 20,000 reviews, and it says, yeah, people in the reviews mentioned that it's good for your dog's breath or whatever. Then I went to another listing and it prompted me with the same question, but it said Rufus basically didn't know, because the listing only had 300 reviews and it wasn't answered. Nobody mentioned this in the reviews. And so the brand is not leveraging the things Rufus is prompting on their listing or competitors and then putting that in the images to really prompt and mention that. Yeah, this is because it was like a dog treat, and people were saying that it's helps cleans their dog's teeth, is hard, like it helps clean the teeth, and it also freshens their breath. People were saying, and Rufus was asking kind of questions that implied that you could get, you could use it in multiple ways. It's small enough so you can hide it in one of those Kong toys and like mentally and keep your dog busy. And you can also treat it for reward or training, right? So now we're going to create these images actually, and we're going to do some testing with Intellivy on like what if people like it or whatever. So this kind of what we're running the polls now, and then we're going to show it on the webinar. But people are not really leveraging the things. And if you're lucky enough that you have reviews and people are answering in the reviews, then it might save you in the fact that you didn't have it in your listing. But what Rufus is doing is it's getting the data from the listing and harvesting it. And if you don't have that data anywhere in the listing, including your reviews or Q&A, then it's not going to know the answer. And so you should be really harvesting all that and making sure you're answering those things within your listing. I guess Rufus makes it easier for you now to do, because essentially what it's doing is it's harvesting reviews essentially, or data from the listing, right? So in the past, maybe you would have wanted to, really download all the reviews, get the data, what's there, am I answering these questions from competitors, from yourself, negative, positive things, but now you can really use Rufus for it. But my hope is that Amazon does a lot more. I'm imagining Amazon is investing a lot into AI, and that you will be able to say, instead of doing a keyword search for a 60 inch LED TV, you'll be able to say, show me
the best TV to watch football or whatever.
Yeah, show me the top five TVs between 60 and 70 inches that have picture in picture and at least 1,000 4.5 stars. Right. Mm-hmm. And then boom, it's just going to show you that in the comparison table or something. Right. And it's going to be even different than a search results page. And you'll have maybe an ad there, and you'll have six listings, and you'll just choose based on that. Right. And then maybe the future beyond that is you'll have some AI agent, or, you'll have a robot
to understand your hobbies, everything, your likes and everything.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you'll have a robot at home that is tuned into Alexa and will just be able to do your ordering. Right. And like
Which is always, to be honest, the goal that they had for Alexa. The reason why Alexa, they're trying to put it every single home. That's where they want to go. Most likely, you want to make sure Alexa becomes your agent when it comes to shopping.
Yeah. And to be honest, I think Amazon really has failed in really implementing AI with Alexa yet, but again, maybe it's a direction they're going to go. And you know, and I think Amazon will implement AI in a lot of things. Like, you know, why do we not have it in the ads console when I can say, "Hey, how's this product doing?" Or show me the last 90 days on this ASIN and what keywords, whatever, right? All this stuff. I mean, software tools are working on it now. We're also working on things like that. But I think Amazon should have that in the back end. Show me my sales for the last 30 days. Show me, you know, show me any abnormalities. Am I about to go out of stock on any products? Like all these things that you could do with AI. I think it's, you know, Amazon's probably working on implementing. But, you know, chances are software tools will beat them to it because it's, you know, not Amazon's number one priority to help sellers always, you know.
For sure.
But
awesome. So, I mean, Lira, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time. Is there any last piece of, you know, wisdom you want to share in terms of 2025, a recommendation, anything else?
I think if you haven't implemented things like, you know, creator connections, I think that's a low hanging fruit. We've seen, you know, we've seen products there do okay, not amazing. And then we've seen products do, you know, 50,000 a month in sales there. So I think it all depends on your product, how strong it is. Is it, you know, how good is it demonstrable on social media versus not, et cetera. But seeing that as something you should take advantage of, I still think there's tremendous opportunity to grow on Amazon. We've seen some positive things even in the last week with the de minimis $800 exemption out of China going away. I think that's great. At the same time, we got some increase in tariffs out of China, not great for, you know, for a lot of sellers. But, you know, I think there's still tremendous opportunity on the platform. I think on the operation side, you really have to be used to be you just had to be good sort of like marketing. But now operations is really important. You have to be really, really either yourself or somebody on your team really strong, at that side of it. And, you know, if you want to reach out with any questions, I'm on, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, whatever.
Thank you, Lira. Pleasure. I'm going to make sure to put all your information down below. Other than that, it's been great to have you, man. So hopefully I see you, most likely prosper. So
yes.
I
see you. Sounds good. Okay. Thank you for having me on. Okay, bro. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.